As we head into our time of confession, I'd like to ask you to turn to James chapter 4. I want to read the whole chapter. There's more than five probably, but I want to give five evidences of humility here. Anytime we're confessing sin and we talk about pride and humility, I think it's convicting. Chapter 4 of James, at least five evidences. Well, I mentioned five of them. And it starts here with quarrels and fights. Look at verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? I want to just say North Avenue has been a tremendous blessing in 100 ways, but one of them is this, that there seems to be less discord, less quarrels, less fights, more unity than any church that I've been a part of. And I am very, very grateful, overwhelmed really with just your love for each other, your humility in the way you go about business there. And I'm very grateful for that. You desire and you do not have. So you murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So number one, we could fight or quarrel shows a pride. Or number two, prayerlessness shows a pride. We don't have because we don't ask. Look at verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Number three, evidence of pride may be a worldliness. Being a friend of the world rather than a friend of Christ, an enemy of God if we're a friend of the world. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that Scripture says he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I think Proverbs 3, 1 Peter 5 says the same thing. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So number four is we judge if we're judging our brother or sister in a wrong way. So number one, if we fight or quarrel. Number two, if we are prayerless, if we don't pray as we ought. Number three, if we're a friend with the world. And number four, are we judging each other wrongly? There is only one lawgiver, verse 4, and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? And then number 5, do we boast about tomorrow? Come now, you say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Consider those five things as we go before our Lord and confess our sin, and I will close this in a second. Gracious Father, I think all of us would come before you today and confess our issues with pride. Certainly, Lord, it is natural for us, and you're doing a supernatural work to weed it out of our lives. We're grateful for that. We know that your word says that you give grace to the humble, and we need your grace. And so we pray that you would continue to help us in our prayerlessness, in our worldliness, when we quarrel or when we fight, when we judge our brothers, or especially in my mind the last couple of weeks of just boasting about tomorrow, knowing the shortness of life. We're so grateful, Lord, that we are headed to heaven soon. We can't wait. We have never been this close before, and so we're grateful that you have given us so much to look forward to and so much to be excited about. And I ask, Lord, that we would not boast about tomorrow, but we would long for it. We would groan in eager anticipation of that great day. Lord, we ask that you today would forgive our sins. We're so grateful that you have washed them as far as the east is from the west, and that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, you have paid a great price by sacrificing your son. And as Mark teaches today, I pray that you would once again remind us of the gospel, and that our eyes would be fixed on Jesus, and that we would see the great price that was paid. We're not our own. We were bought at a price. Therefore, we want to honor you with the way we think and operate, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.